particular blessing important this morning, considering our text, considering the subject of our text. Last week we talked about being a chosen race. This week we'll talk about being a royal priesthood. And the blessing that I just spoke actually comes from Numbers chapter 6. And it starts in verse 24, but let me read to you 22 and 23. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his son, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them." That blessing are the words of the Lord given to the priesthood of Israel. In considering that Peter tells us we are a royal priesthood, I think that blessing is just as important today as it was back in that particular time. So when you hear that blessing, think about it. The Lord bless you and keep you. He'll take care of you. He'll smile upon you. He'll look favorably upon you because you are a royal priesthood. You know, we talked about some of the great I am statements that Jesus has made and how important they are, because Jesus is the light of the world. He is the bread. He is the living water. And so now we're talking about you are statements. We talked about you are light, you are salt, you are a chosen race, you are a royal priesthood. And these you are statements are important to us because the us is the you are in that statement. You are, we are a royal priesthood. That gives us purpose. Whenever Jesus tells us that we are something, that gives us purpose. You are salt, we are preservative. So it's our purpose to be the preservative of society. You are light. You are the righteousness of God. Our purpose is to spread that righteousness and show people that righteousness. You are a chosen race. We talked about that last week. And so I don't want to belabor the point, but I want to tell us that we have a purpose in life. And the purpose is given to us by these you are statements. And our purpose changed from who we were before Christ to who we are now. Our purpose changed from a selfish purpose, feeding our own wants and desires, to a selfless purpose, giving people what they need to survive. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. We cannot look like the rest of the world and then tell them we're different. It doesn't work that way. We cannot look like the rest of the world. If you pick up a handful of sand, and you look at all those, they all kind of look the same, don't they? And then one pops up and says, "Look at me, I'm different." No, you're not. You look just like the rest. We have to be different because we are a royal priesthood. We cannot be the same, because we are a chosen race, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. We are different. Now, we're going to get some history today. I want you to know that. And part of it is, yes, because I love history, and I don't mind telling you that. So you're going to receive a history lesson. However, this history lesson is important because in order to understand the significance of the phrase a royal priesthood, we have to understand the culture of that time. And so to do that, we have to go back to the Mosaic Law, because the priests of the Mosaic Law came from the tribe of Levi. Levi had three sons, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. And Kohath, just so we understand where we're at, Kohath was the father of Amram. And if you remember your Bible, Amram was the father of Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Okay? So that's just kind of getting the feel of things going. And all of the priests are descendants of Aaron. Matter of fact, to be a high priest, you had to be in the direct lineage of Aaron. So to be a priest, you had to be of the tribe of Levi, of the descendants of Aaron. And I wanted to throw this in for good measure so we understand the Sadducees. All of the Sadducees were descendants of the priesthood, descendants of Aaron. All of the Levites now, all three of the sons of Levites who had all of their sons and daughters, they all had specific purposes, okay? If you look at Numbers 4, 24 through 26, the tribe of Gershom, moving the tabernacle covers, moving the screens and the curtains, and God gave them carts to do this with. And then the tribe of Kohath had to move the ark and all of the holy furniture inside the tabernacle. And God gave them poles of gopher wood to move these things with. And then the tribe of Merari, moving all of the poles and the boards and the sockets and the pillars and all of the bars and things, and they moved them by hand. So the tribe of Levi had a specific purpose that was dedicated to the tabernacle, dedicated to God. And within the tribe of Levi, of the tribe of the lineage of Kohath was the priesthood. And the Levitical priesthood had specific duties as well. If we'll read in Numbers 18, verses 1 through 3. So the Lord said to Aaron, "You and your sons and your father's house with you shall bear iniquity connected with the sanctuary, and you and your sons shall bear iniquity connected with your priesthood. And with you bring your brothers also, the tribe of Levi, the tribe of your father, that they may join you and minister to you while you and your sons are before the tent of the testimony." So the tribe of Levi had other jobs other than just moving everything. They ministered to the priesthood. Verse 3, "They shall keep guard over you," the tribe of Levi, "over the priesthood. They shall keep guard over you and over the whole tent, but shall not come near to the vessels of the sanctuary or to the altar, lest they and you die." So the priesthood under the tribe of Levi had specific duties, different from the rest of the tribe of Levi. And we can see that happening in Luke. And this is the story of Zechariah, which of course is the father of John the Baptist, right? Now, while he was serving as priest before God when his division was on duty, Zechariah was of the priesthood, the lineage of Kohath. And he was serving in the temple, in the sanctuary, as was his duty, because his division was on watch. According to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. So there was specific duties for the priesthood versus the tribe of Levi. And this is important because the tribe of Levi was given the priests, but not the kings. The tribe of Judah was given the kings. And we read that in Genesis 49, verses 8 through 10. And this is the great blessing. Starting in verse 8. "Judah, your brothers shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's cub. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He stooped down. He crouched as a lion and as a lioness. Who dares rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until tribute comes to him, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples." So the tribe of Levi gets the priesthood. The tribe of Judah gets the kingship. I say that, but you're all saying to me, wait a minute, what about Saul? Saul was the first king, and he was not the tribe of Judah, was he? He was the tribe of Benjamin. However, what happened? Saul lost it, didn't he? He did not do what God told him to do. God said, devote all of these things to destruction, and he didn't. He didn't. And so God took the kingdom from him and gave it to whom? A man after his own heart. He gave it to David, who was of the tribe of Judah. And of course, David's son Solomon was of the tribe of Judah. But those were only three kings, and they were all major kings, right? What about when the kingdom split? When the kingdom split, Jeroboam took 10 tribes and went north. And he created the kingdom of Israel. And if you're looking at New Testament times, that's Samaria, okay? So, and when he did that, he took these 10 tribes with him and he created golden calves at Dan and Beersheba. He started his own worship. He created priests that were not from the tribe of Levi. He did all these things that were wrong. Well, Rehoboam, who was Solomon's son of the tribe of Judah, remained in Jerusalem with two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. And that became the kingdom of Judah. So during the divided kingdom, you may hear things, the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah. Sometimes the kingdom of Israel is meant as a whole, all of the Israelites. And sometimes it's meant as the kingdom of Judah that Jeroboam went away and started. Now, all of the kings of Judah, every single one, and there were 19 of them, are of the tribe of Judah. The scepter shall not depart. The ruler's staff will not depart from his feet, right? All 19 kings were in the lineage of David, the tribe of Judah. Now in 722, Assyria invades the kingdom of Israel and carries them off into captivity. And that is effectively the last time we hear about the other 10 tribes. I say that, and there's a caveat to that. Some of the folks, especially some of the Levites who couldn't stomach what Jeroboam was doing in Israel, they went south and they hung out with Judah. But effectively, the end of those 10 tribes happened in 722 when Assyria invades the kingdom of Israel and carries them off into captivity. And I know it's history, and I know you're scratching your head saying, Evan, I don't need a history lesson. This is morning worship. We're worshiping God. But we have to understand the context that we find our phrase, the royal priesthood. We have to understand that in the kingdom of Israel, those things were divided. In the understanding of all Israelites, you could either be a priest or a king, but you could never be both, ever. Because the priesthood was given to the Levites, a specific portion of the Levites, and the kingdom was given to Judah in the lineage of David. So what does he mean, a royal priesthood? What are we? What is a royal priesthood? Well, brothers and sisters, we have to go back again, and we have to understand who the only royal priest in our text was. I say only, there are two, because Jesus is one. We have to go back to Melchizedek. Because Melchizedek was a king and a priest. In Genesis 14, 17 through 21, after his return, and that's Abraham, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of God Most High. Do you read that? And Melchizedek, the king of Salem, who was a priest of God Most High, and he blessed him, again, him is Abraham, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands, and Abram gave him a tenth of everything. And the king of Sodom said, give me the persons, but take the goods for yourself. Abraham gave a tithe to Melchizedek, who was not only a king, but he was also a priest. He wasn't of the tribe of Israel. He wasn't under the Mosaic law. But Abraham gave him a tenth of everything before the Mosaic law ever happened. Now, Melchizedek has a particular translation. And Melchizedek means, in the Hebrew, king of righteousness. And do you think it is by coincidence or chance that he was king of Salem? Do you know what Salem means in the Hebrew? It's actually translated from the word shalom, which means peace. So Melchizedek is not only king of righteousness, he's king of peace. No wonder God says that Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. In Hebrews 7, this is a long text, but I think we really need to delve into this to understand this royal priesthood. In Hebrews 7, starting in verse 4, see how great this man was to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of the spoils. He's talking about Melchizedek, right? And those descendants of Levi who received the priestly office have a commandment in the law to take tithes from the people. Now he switches. He's talking about Melchizedek. Then he switches to the priesthood and the tithes that were given to the priesthood, right? That is from their brothers, although these are descendants of Abraham. But this man who does not have his descent from them, Melchizedek, who is not descendant of Levi, received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promise. It is beyond dispute that the inferior is blessed by the superior. Abraham being inferior to Melchizedek. And this next text is really interesting to me. In the one case, tithes are received by mortal men, but in the other case, by one of whom it is testified that he lives. One might even say that Levi himself, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, for he was still in the loins of his ancestors when Melchizedek met him. Now think about that for a second. All of the tribe of Israel is descended from Abraham. And so what the writer is saying, that even though Levi was not even born yet, Levi paid tithes to Melchizedek. And Levi is the one who's supposed to receive the tithes. Are we beginning to understand this idea of royal priesthood? David, who is the king, pens this psalm in 110, verses 1 through 4. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. We read that in Acts chapter 2. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments. From the womb of the morning, the dew of your youth will be yours. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Psalm 110 is one of those messianic psalms. David, being a prophet, pens this psalm about Jesus the Christ. He says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Peter uses that in Acts chapter 2 to say, why would David call somebody else my Lord? He was the king. Because he's speaking about Jesus. He's a prophet, and he's foretelling that Jesus is going to sit at the Lord's right hand. And in that same psalm, he says that Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, being a priest and a king, being a royal priest. Just as Melchizedek was king and priest, so Jesus is a king and priest. And just as Jesus is a king and priest, so we are a royal priest. Priesthood. Do you see how that follows? Do you see the blessing that we get? We are a royal priesthood after the order of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, you are not homeless. You are not broken. And you are no longer sinners. I know we say that all the time. We always talk about the broken people and how we're such sinners and we sin all the time. And that's fine, I understand that. But that's not who you are. You are a royal priesthood. You used to be broken. You used to be homeless. You used to be sinners. No longer. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, or the idolaters, or adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Listen to this next verse. And such were some of you. Were some of you. You no longer are those things. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Isn't that beautiful? We are no longer those things. We are a royal priesthood being washed and justified and sanctified after the order of Jesus, the Savior of the world. In Titus 3, verses 3 through 7, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He has poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Heirs, a royal priesthood, no longer broken, homeless sinners, but our home is in heaven. Our citizenship is in the kingdom, and we are saved by the grace and mercy and the blood of Jesus, our Savior. We are a royal priesthood. You know, I often go to Ephesians 2 a lot, and I normally camp on verses 8, 9, and 10, because those particular verses talk about our purpose in life, and our purpose is to do good works, which we were created to do. God created these things beforehand so that we might walk in them. But I really want to go 1 through 7 today. 1 through 7 is just as important, especially for our topic. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. We were homeless, brothers and sisters. We were sinners. We were broken. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of the disobedient. That used to be us. We did that. Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. We were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. And my two favorite words in the entire text, but God. We used to be broken, homeless sinners, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, we have a home. We're not homeless. Our home is in heaven with the Father. Our residence is the kingdom. So that in the coming ages, He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we are a royal priesthood. Every single one of us are kings and priests after the order of Jesus the Savior. Does that not amaze you even just a little? Does that not set the hair on the back of your neck to stand straight up, to realize that God thinks so much of us? God values us so much that He would make us a royal priesthood after the order of His Son, Jesus the Christ. It is our task to put aside those old thoughts. Don't think of yourself as sinners, as broken, as homeless. Don't think of yourself as all those things that we listed in 1 Corinthians 6 or in Titus or even in Ephesians. That's not who you are, not anymore. Put aside those old thoughts. Put aside those old behaviors. Because God has made us something much better. He has made us a royal priesthood. Accept that. Accept the fact that you are a royal priesthood, that God has made you that through Jesus the Christ. And then start acting like it. Start imitating the Son. Start molding yourself into the exact imprint, into the very character of Jesus. Since that's who we are a royal priesthood after. Those things are so important for us to remember. Whenever we are told that we are something in Scripture, it's never anything bad. It's always something grand. And not just grand, but beyond even my wildest imagination. Did I ever think that I would be a king and a priest? Did you ever think that you guys would be a royal priesthood? That God value you so much? Well, that value goes back to the very beginning. The very beginning when He created us. Because He loved us so much at that point, even before that point, He said, you know, I know what's going to happen. I know they're going to make mistakes. They're going to become broken. They're going to become homeless. They're going to become sinners. So let me put a plan in place. Let me set up Jesus the Christ, who will come a few thousand years down the road and will sacrifice Himself so that I can show them what kind of love I have for them. If you don't know that love, if you've not been a recipient of that love, come forward. Sit down. Accept Jesus Christ, that He is a priest, a royal priest, after the order of Melchizedek. Go through the washing of regeneration, being immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. And you'll come up a new creature, a new creation, a royal priesthood. And you can mold yourself into the image of Jesus, our Savior. Or maybe you need the prayers of the faithful. Maybe you didn't have an opportunity to write it down on a card. You know, if you were not here Wednesday night when Chris was speaking to us, he said something to the effect that we have lost the ability of coming down front. We don't do it anymore. Maybe we're too embarrassed. Maybe it's something that is hard for us emotionally to open ourselves and make ourselves vulnerable to the rest of the body. But I tell you this, the rest of the body will be lifting you up to the very Father Himself. They will beseech the Father on your behalf. If you need the prayers of the faithful, if you need to enter into the royal priesthood, I would say, come forward while we stand and while we sing.